One more time. Let's give God a hand clap. If we would just think about those words, I'm more than enough. I'm already chosen. Everything that the world thinks would cease to matter when we began to believe that I'm already more than enough. And I'm not just chosen by anybody, but I'm chosen by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. I'm special stock, baby. I ain't just any old thing you. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord today. Before we release the children to Children's Church, I want to pray. There's a spirit residing in the building today. And there's no way as your leader that we could go forward with this thing operating in the magnitude that it is. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come here today and we thank you for all things. We thank you because you are an awesome and a faithful and a keeping and a loving God. Father, you sit high, look low. Nothing catches you by surprise, but we thank God for your spirit, that it allows us to see and receive things in the spirit when their spirit that dwells amongst us is not of you. Father, every demonic entity, every demonic mindset, every demonic agenda, we come up against it right now in the name of Jesus, and we cast it out of this building. In the name of Jesus, we speak, decree, and declare in Jesus' name, Satan, you have no right here. You have no authority here. You will not hinder this service. You will not stop what God has ordained. The word will go forth. Folk will be set free and delivered. And we thank you, God. We thank you because we trust you, God. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we pray. Somebody who believes the Lord, say amen. Somebody who believes the Lord, say, I said somebody who believes the Lord, say amen. I dare you worship God in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the hell, in the midst of the madness. I dare you worship God. I dare you press through your depression. I dare you press through. I dare you press through your sickness. All over the building. Clap your hands for our God. All over the building. This is called the press. This is called the push. This is called refusing to leave it like it is. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes you just have to let the enemy know, not in this house. Not in this house. We will do what thus saith, what saith the Lord. Amen. Listen, Children's Church is open. Amen. Children's Church is open. Amen. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sometimes you have to confront the enemy when he's confronting you. In this 21st century westernized church, we've become so weak. We lay down and we just take it. But I read in my Bible, he said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Thus, when the enemy comes up against us, we can stand confidently and boldly and let the enemy know, not my house, not my health, not my kids, not my finances, not my grandbabies, not my nieces, not my nephews, not my business, not. Did you hear? Not my business. Not nothing. You can't have nothing that God has blessed me with. You better learn how to praise God in the fire. Amen. You better learn how to praise God in the fire. It ain't always gonna be roses. It ain't always gonna be ki-ki-ki. It ain't gonna always be sweet. You better know how to praise God when hell is hitting you from every side. You better be able to stand right in the midst of the enemy and declare, no weapon, not a single solitary one of them will be able to prosper against me. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, church. I want you to understand because we keep it all the way 100 here, right? From the praise team to the attendance, all of it has been under attack. Find it not strange when you're being tried by the fiery trials. We told you on the video this last week, I said, listen here, we don't want to see no less than 100 people. That was a bold statement, wasn't it? We don't want to see no less than 100 people no more. Not for the rest of the year, but no more. Let me tell you something. We begin to get phone calls. People begin to say, hope centers begin to shut us down. They said, they can't make it this week. They'll be back next week. I'm talking about we got people sick, attacked on every side. I'm talking, man, when we decreed and declared what we was about to do for the kingdom of God, Satan came with all barrels loaded. But is it anybody in the building that declares, if he be for me, don't make no never mind. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, yeah. We declare it in confidently by the end of this year, we're going to hit that 1150. Amen. We walking out of 23 with that 1150. We believe God for that. And we understand that when we see the attendance dwindle, it ain't cause we losing, baby. Satan ain't winning. Satan desperate. We're not losing. Satan is desperate. So I want you to get excited when it don't look good. You gotta be that type of a worshiper. When it ain't working out your way, you can still shout from your spirit. When hell don't... Yeah, yeah. My salvation is not predicated upon the praise team. My salvation is not predicated upon attendance. My salvation is contingent strictly upon my relationship with God. And if you got a relationship with God, you ought to be able to, yeah, shout right now. Yeah, yeah. You ought to be able to, you ought to be able to shout. Listen, come on, be seated all over the building. We almost done. We already almost done, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, when you can shout when it don't look right, that lets the enemy know that you've matured. Did you hear me? It's like praying and don't ask for nothing. Because you know that God already know your every need. So guess what? I'm going to spend time in prayer for somebody else. When you can shout when it don't look right, that's when you know you've matured, amen. When you can shout and it ain't pretty, you know that you're growing in God. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, we got too much pretty church around here already. We warriors for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Can I just, somebody amen there? We are warriors. If you just look back over your life and think about all the hell you've been through and God has kept you in the midst of it, if... couldn't have made it out of what I made it out of being weak. Huh? Is that anybody's testimony? I couldn't have made it out of what I've been through weak. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. It took a staying power to get to this point right now. We didn't just show up here. We had to go through some things. But because God is faithful, we made it, watch this, and are making it out of every one of them. In fact, the Bible says many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of every last one of them. You should have got excited right there. Is it anybody in the building that's got some afflictions, some issues, some drama, some stuff going on in your life? I dare you just go ahead and clap in advance. I dare you put a down payment on the breakthrough right now and let them know that I was once young and I'm now old. But the two things that I've never seen is the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Sometimes you just got to put a down payment on the breakthrough. Amen. Yeah. Hey.
I heard somebody say praise confuses the enemy. Is it any praises in the house? Is it? I'm talking about real praises where the money might be low, but you can praise. The kids might be crazy, but you can praise. The marriage might not be doing what you thought it would, but you got a praise deep down on the inside of you that says, if he be for me. Hallelujah. We bless you. Trying to get it together here. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to set the stage and let the enemy know. I don't care what you had planned. I don't care what attack you had my name attached to. No weapon. Listen, come on, let's. Hallelujah. Something special going on in the house right now. Listen, we're going to get on into this word, amen. There's some people sitting in here right now that is absolutely broken. Broken. But the Lord told me to tell you, he says, get excited in the brokenness because I specialize in broken things. If you find yourself in a place right now where you are feeling hopeless, you are in the best position that you could possibly be in. Because it's when we get to the point that we can just go ahead and express it. I can't take no more. If just one more thing was to go wrong, if one more thing was to happen, I would probably lose my. God is looking for the people that says, listen here, I figured out that I can't handle it on my own. And if you don't show up and show out in my life, it ain't no telling how this thing gonna turn out. But God is saying, I need you to be in that place. So I can do the impossible. Yeah, yeah. He's an impossible doing God. Amen. Listen, I wanna talk to you. We're kind of doing some things different. Most of you got the handout, and I pray that you had time to read it. And if not, I pray that you read it at home. And it even went a little deeper because for the first time in my life, I'm actually doing an intro to this two-part series, and we're going to start it. It says, y'all ready? Good morning, everyone. Yeah. I didn't write the response in there, but I'll take it, amen. Good morning, everyone. Today, I'm doing something just a tad bit different, and this part right here is what I'm calling the intro to today's sermon. I felt it important to do because it is obvious that God is doing something different with us here at Unity. And anytime God begins to shift us into another realm, it's very important that we be prepared. So here's what God laid on my heart to say to you in this introduction today. There are formulas to just about everything in life, if not everything in life. You wake up in the morning and you have to remove the covers before you position yourself to get out of the bed in order to brush your teeth. And I hope that's a part of everybody's daily formula. But in order to brush your teeth, you have to apply the toothpaste to the brush plus put the brush in your mouth and brush equals fresh breath. Everything is a formula, and so is the Christian walk. And one of Satan's coldest tricks is allowing you to go to church, have titles, tithe, serve, and participate in service, all without embracing true change. So we come to church, we sing, cry, shout, pray, then go home, smoke a blunt, drink a beer, sex people who aren't our legal spouses, and expect the same hell and heartbreak and experience, rather, the same hell and heartbreak and just overall sense of loss, emptiness, and the void goes unfulfilled. That's because, beloved, God is the only one, can I get that towel? God is the only one that can fill that void that emptiness, and even God comes with a formula. If you remember, I said this a couple of weeks ago, repentance plus belief equals relationship. Repentance, God, I'm sorry. I am heart sorry. I am, my soul position has changed. God, I'm sorry. Plus, I believe in you. Equals relationship. Amen? Amen. A few years ago, I stood in this very pulpit and I asked all of you, most of you that were here, a very serious question. The question was serious, but because of its simplicity, I believe that the depth of the question was missed and overlooked. It'd be the simplest things that can be most powerful, but because they're simply put, oftentimes they're overlooked. Thus, we miss it all. It's critical that years later, we revisit the question, and my prayer is that this time around, we consider the question with a more mature mind. And the reason that I say a more mature mind is because when the mind has matured, the one thing it won't let you do is lie to you about you. Mm. And some of us in here today, you know, we've been conditioning to lying so much that we believe the lies that we tell. And now all of a sudden you're beginning to feel uncomfortable operating in that spirit because for some reason you don't know what's happened. You ain't lost no weight. You ain't changed your hair. You understand what I'm saying to you? But for some reason something has happened to where now lying to you don't set well with you no more. May I introduce God? And the reason that I say this mature mind, watch this. It won't let you lie to you about you, not when the mind has spiritually matured. Now, I want you to understand. It's important that you understand that the mind spiritually, it can spiritually mature just as well as the mind, if not careful, can demonically mature. What do you mean, Pastor? It's when you find yourself doing worse than you thought you ever would. It's when you begin to say, I can't believe I did that. It's not necessarily that you're operating in a weakness. It's actually operating that your mind is strengthening demonically, and we got to be careful about that. Watch this, because we teach from the mind that we operate from. So watch this. How many in here got babies or got babies connected to you and you love them? You got to be careful what you teach because you'll teach the babies to operate demonically too. Now, here's the problem with operating demonically. None of us are having fun when we operate in that mode. In fact, sin, let's just be 100 about it. It's fun for a minute, right? It's fun for a minute. It's good for a minute. Feel great for a minute. But then it begins to bring forth a depression. Then it begins to bring forth a brokenness. Then it begins to bring forth, you know, you just woke up and ain't really nothing new about the day. It just ain't nothing right about the day. Sin will steal from you. Sin will steal your ability to smile. Sin will steal your ability to feel comfortable in the midst of folks. Sin is a cold demo. Every now and again, it would be good. It would be to everyone in here's best interest to call a timeout in this rat race that we call life and have some real live introspection and really just be real with self. See, because what I had to learn was when I became real with me, I figured out that the problem was with me. I had figured out ways to make my every issue somebody else's fault.
Oh, God.
I could tell you why I'm in this situation, and it had nothing to do with me. I mean, look at how I was raised. Look at where we grew up. Look at my parents. Look at how many times I went to prison. I mean, hey, I just got a GED. I could find a way to justify every mess that I put myself in. But when you begin to do real life introspection, you declare and you become intentional about being real with what it is that you find, oftentimes, most times, what you will find is the problem is me. Now, I know all y'all came out the womb speaking in tongues. You know, y'all came out the womb, you know, taking communion. I understand. But for folk like me, when I begin to look at me, I was my worst enemy. Ooh, Satan couldn't do nothing like I could do to myself. Ooh. The word introspection, simply defined as an examination of one's own thoughts and feelings. An examination of one's own thoughts and feelings. And there's two verses. Oh, by the name. The name of this sermon is Are You New? Sorry. There's two verses in the Bible that support the why we should have introspection and why we should have it often. The first verse is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse number 2. And first we're going to read it in the New King James Version. And it says, watch this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. The New Living Translation says it like this. People may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their hearts. By nature, we justify ourselves. Sometimes we do this in sincerity, you know, we're being real about it. And then sometimes we do this with deception. We lie to ourselves about what we see in ourselves. But what you mostly find is that when we tend to justify ourselves with deception when our lives isn't right with God. See, you can do, watch this, you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Yeah, you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons, just as you can do the wrong thing having right intentions. And it's very important that you know which side of the line you're on when you're operating, because both of these instances will mess things up. See, help isn't help in God's eyes when it's not done from a pure heart. Can I say that again? Help is not help in God's eyes when it's not done with a pure heart. And when it's done from a pure place, watch this, you won't talk about how you helped, how much you helped, whether you really had it to do or not. You just help, and then you move on. And this would explain why some of us in here, why we help people all the time, but you never seem to be blessed yourself. It could be because your motives are wrong, and you get just what you're looking for. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let's take it to the Bible and let Scripture support what I'm trying to say. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, and we're going to read it through the New Living Translation. And it says, watch out. This is Jesus talking. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Verse number 2 says, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus saying it. I tell you the truth. They have received, Lord, have mercy. They have received all the reward they will ever get. Now, this is Jesus, and he's saying, when you help someone, you need to keep that to yourself. And do you know why he calls them hypocrites? You know why he calls them hypocrites? Because they are doing things as if to be a blessing, but really it's to say that they did it. You're trying to present yourself in a way that's really not what you own, who you are. Am I making sense in here today? And he goes on to say that whatever good job or that a boy or praise that you might get from the ones that you're bragging to, that's all the reward they will ever get for what they've done for the person. So we do, just speaking of myself, you know, my wife and I, we do acts of charity and we don't rap about it. Because rapping about it to get you something like, that was nice. Pat on the back. I'm looking for God to reward me in a way that I can pay some bills. You can't spend, you are so nice in Walmart. My household expensive, amen. I need an about that life God, amen. Yeah. But watch this. But even in the midst of Jesus' instruction to the disciples, he gives a promise to the one who, when they help someone, when they do it right, he gives them a promise. Let's look at it. Same chapter, just a few verses down, Matthew 6, 3 and 4. But in this version, we're going to read, in this scripture, we're going to read from the New King James Version, because there's a word that I want you to see, okay? This word is important. It says, but here's Jesus, he's still talking and teaching, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will himself reward you. Somebody say openly. Yeah, Lord have mercy. Ooh. You see the promise? You see, I want you to understand something. I don't want you to come to church to shout. And if you shout, that's cool. Don't let that be what you're after. I don't want you to come to church just to cry. If you cry, it's cool, but don't just come to church because I just really needed to get that out. I want you to come to church for prayer, but don't let prayer just be the reason that you come for prayer, because, you know, truth be told, you can pray at home. What I want you to come to church for is to catch the promises. I want you to catch the promises. Watch this. Hold on me. Now keep that same clap as much as I want you to catch the warnings. Okay? It's critical that you understand that God makes some promises. And the reason why that we have, in this westernized world, the reason that we have such a problem believing God for his promises, because we continue to recognize God with the people who broke promises. That's the word, Pastor. We continue to associate God with people who failed us. And you can't really believe God who you've not seen, so you think, because you've believed folk that you could see that had a reason to keep their word, because ain't no telling how many times you came through for them, but they broke their word. So watch this. Satan was strategically awesome, because not only did he get you to stop trusting them, he stopped getting you to trust God. Oh God. Woo. And let's just be 100. When you live a life, watch this, and I believe that every soul in here is called to God. I really do. I don't just say that to be saying it. You don't come to this church. You only come to this church for one of two reasons. Either the Lord sent you or Satan did. You're on assignment one of two ways, either to get closer to God or to try to figure out a way to destroy the ministry. You understand what I'm saying to you? God wants you to understand that there's some promises. And anytime that God says anything, you can take it to the bank. The promise he says is this. He says, and your father who sees in secret. Now watch, I want to deal with that real quickly. Okay, Holy Ghost, I hear you. Your father who sees in secret. Watch this. So just like you get excited about God seeing you in secret blessing somebody, I want you to be hip to the fact that God sees you in secret when you be in a hot mess too. Now, as you spiritually mature, your clap for the blessing should be as loud for the conviction. Because the conviction, watch this, is what's going to save you. The conviction, if you're wrong, helps you get to the point of the blessing. Oh, God. So you got to get to the point in your life. Well, I'm all right with the butt whooping because I was wrong, because I understand that if I am trained by it, Lord, have mercy. I become better. Here's the promise. And your father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Can I just go ahead and make that? Sometimes when you are called to bless somebody, you just shouldn't. When someone calls you sometimes and they say, you know, here's the situation I'm in. If your heart isn't pure, keep your money. Okay, I hear you. God says, because what has happened is sometimes you helped people from an impure place. Yeah. Watch this. And you know, yeah, they need me now, so I'm going to go ahead and bless this with them just because. And God's like, yeah, you know what? But because your heart ain't right, I'm going to take what you gave them, and I'm going to triple it. Watch this, and you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle 10 triple times more because your heart. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be careful. When people ask me for things, when I say yay, I got to say why. Yeah. Why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? Why am I raising this money? Is it to be said that so that unity always comes through for the people? Is it to be said that Pastor Lyons is a good guy? He'll make sure you're going to be straight. What is my reasoning? What is my motive? And if my motive ain't right, watch this. If my motive ain't right, it ain't going to be right, period. Listen, he says, for those that do it right, I'm going to bless you openly in front of everybody, whether they like it or not. It's something about when God blesses you openly, it doesn't have to make sense to folk. It doesn't have to please your haters. Oh, God. Watch this. You could be a hot mess, but blessed from a pure place, and God will do things for you that will give your haters fits. You might not know three verses, but bless somebody from a pure place, and God will shine down on your life in the midst of your enemies in ways that they could never fathom. There's something about when God decides to bless you. Oh, Lord, how many... Ain't you glad that you serve a God that when you need to be blessed, God ain't got to see a committee. He ain't got to see a board. He ain't got to take a census. He ain't got to ask somebody how they feel about it. He don't look things over. He just becomes God. He just does as God do. Lord, have mercy. You got to be careful, because when you get blessed by God, when folk don't understand it, your haters will make stuff up. Mm-hmm. You ever been blessed and you thought somebody that you loved was gonna celebrate with you, but they had an issue with you being okay, and y'all better clap. You know it's the truth. Go ahead and tell the truth and shame. You were supposed to be happy that I didn't lose my house. You were supposed to be happy that I didn't lose my kids. You were supposed to be happy that I didn't lose my mind. You were supposed to be happy that I ain't getting high no more. You supposed to be happy that I don't get drunk no more. You supposed to be happy I don't put my hands on women no more. You supposed to be happy. And it seems like you're disgusted on the fact that I'm no longer broken. Oh, God. Be careful, because when folk don't understand, in the natural eye, when you should be destroyed, but God rises you up, people will make stuff up. It's everything but God. Oh, you know he's still hustling on the low. That's what that is, you know. How he got that and ain't got 100 people in the church? Hey, oh, you know he's still, yeah. You know she's still hooking up with people on the low. You know, how in the world can she afford to have that house and on that wage and with those many kids? And you know she's probably doing something. It's everything but God is in their life despite where they might be. Watch this. But when your heart is in the right position, it don't make no never mind what people say or think, because you have tapped into a kingdom formula. What's the formula? Here it is. It's on the screen. Do everything from a pure place, plus keep it to yourself, equals blessed openly. Let's look at it again, Kim. Do everything from a pure place, in other words, for the right reasons, plus keep it to yourself, equals openly blessed. That's formula. See, because you can help somebody, then you can talk about it, and though you might have helped that situation, you hurt another one. So again, honest introspection is necessary because it shows you what's really going on with you. Why you do the things that you do, and why you may or may not be getting blessed, or that you may or may not be in right alignment with God. Amen. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse number 23, it says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Did you hear that? Young people, I want you to catch that. Guard your heart. Don't let everybody in. Amen. Above everything else, make sure your heart, which translates to mean your what? Guard your mind above everything else. Pimps used to say this in the street. I promise I'm saved. They can have her body because if I got her mind. Is there some women in here that, I'm not saying you're prostitutes, but you can attest to the fact that there was a man in your life that had your mind, and he wasn't doing right with your mind, and he made parts of you come out that you never knew existed. He brought out parts of you that today it shames you to think about it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Above all else, guard your mind. So watch this. You got to watch the weed. you got to watch the drink. You got to watch the powder. You got to watch, because all of that is weakening your mind. And when your mind is vulnerable, you are a potential victim. Do my young ladies understand that? Do my young ladies understand that? If you don't guard, I don't care how good he look. I don't care how good he can sing. I don't care how he smell. How many bills he can pay, what whip he push. I don't care. Baby, guard your mind. Love you enough, have enough worth in you to sit back and say, you dope, but you full of it. You dope, but you ain't godly. And if you ain't godly, that only means that you can only be ungodly. And ungodly people do ungodly things. And the problem with that is, if you ain't guarding your mind, you will be a victim to the ungodly. Oh, man, I feel like teaching this thing in here today. Young men, guard your mind. Guard your mind. Because if you don't guard your mind, you'll find yourself being everybody but you. You'll find yourself being everybody but you. Can I get the men to be real in the house today? Have you ever sat back, men, and just sat back and said, what am I doing? This is not who I am. Ain't no worse painful feeling than to come to the conclusion or the reality that you are being what they made you instead of who you really are. Lord, have mercy. He says, guard your heart, guard your mind above all else, for it determines, watch this, in other words, how you think is, and how you let, and what you let affect your thinking is going to determine how your life play out. That's why I love this church, because everybody in here is a part of the X-Men ministry. We X something. Amen. And everybody in here can attest to the fact that on the strength, it would have never got me if I'd have been protecting my mind. Yeah. Yeah. But it ain't going to get nobody else that I'm connected to, because I'm going to teach them to guard your mind. Now watch this. Introspection helps you to guard your heart or your mind from just thinking. Watch this. This is one of the greatest things that introspection helps you to guard your mind from. Just thinking you okay because you think you are. That is a dangerous moment when you just think you okay. I ain't got nothing to support it, but I'm good. I'm good. Oh, God. How many of you lied that lie before? I'm good. How you good and you broke? I'm good. How you good and you lonely? I'm good. How you good and you got to chase them down for child support? I'm good. How you good and you got to pay child support? I'm good. How you good and you getting high every day? How you good and you got to drink just to cope? How you good and you sleep with people that know don't love you? How are you good? Be real about yourself. Lord, have mercy. It helps you to guard your heart from just thinking that you're okay. Life happens. Seasons shift. Hell hits throughout a day alone. Your emotions and thoughts can be compromised. Sometimes you have to fall back and look at where you are and be real about what you find. And if when you find things are out of whack, love yourself enough to correct it. And love the people enough that you're connected to correct it. Lord, have mercy. Can I just go ahead and talk to mama in here? If you know that it ain't right, I don't care. It's the feel bad for yourself is over with. Ain't no more pity parties. Ain't no more woe is me. Ain't no more I'm just going to lay in it because this just seems how it plays out for me. Love your babies enough to say, you know what? It's going to take everything in me, but I'm getting up from this place because you're going to college. You're going to have a car at 16. You're going to have nice clothes. They ain't going to make fun of you. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you're a daddy in here and you know that you ain't been the best daddy that you could be, love your children enough to say, you know what? I'm getting ready to drop who I thought I wanted to be, and I'm going to be who it is that God has created me to be. See, you got to see, because sin is selfish. Sin have you operating selfish. Sin make you forget about you got responsibilities out here. Don't just get to be doing you. Lord, have mercy. So the question, I promise I'm almost done. So the question in the room today is, are you new? Are you new? Oh, I know you're cute. I know you're cute. I know you got a little bit of money. I know you know, the world tell you got it going on, but I'm just trying to figure out, are you new? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And if you're new here at Unity, if you've just recently begun to walk this journey, the question is for you, are you new? But for some of you who've been here for a while, I'm talking about, like about a year or longer, my question to you is, are you new yet? Are you new yet? I mean, after all the teaching, after all the sermons, after all the guest speakers, because we don't just bring people to be bringing them, we bring people that's going to bring a word. You understand? My question to you is, are you new yet? And This is a critical question, because it is possible to come to church for years and still be the you you were before you got here, and the you you've been since being here. And what's dangerous with that is people who don't go to church, who don't do God, that's connected to you, will watch you come to church, will watch you serve in the church, yet see no change, see no power in you, and one of two things can happen, and both are catastrophic. One, they will see the hypocrisy in you. They see no change in you, and they think it's God's fault or the church's fault, and decide, well, if it can't help you, it most definitely can't help me. I want you to understand how Satan is webbing in people's heads on the strength of how you getting down. Amen? And then watch this. The people that it seems to be helping, those people think that we lying and just playing a role, and either way, they don't want it. That's the one scenario. Then the other, can I ask a question here real quick?
Tell the truth and shame.
Shame the devil? How many of you have honestly sat in church service sometimes, watched people lose their mind for God in praise and worship, and because you were not where you were supposed to be in God, thought to yourself, they front. They just showing off. They just doing that to be seen. Tell the truth, help me. Because you know what Satan will do? Because you're not where you're supposed to be? He will double down on that for you. See why we don't do church? She over shouting. She over shouting. She dancing. First lady just like to be seen. Yeah. 11 years. MS patient. Ain't fail. Forgot nothing. Dropped the ball in 6 years. Yeah, she just fronting. First, she always dancing. A kidney taken out with no kidney issues. Just somebody didn't do their job and watch this and said ain't never gonna need dialysis. No, she just fronting. She lying. She just shouting to be. She just want to be seen. She thinks she cute. She done lost some weight and she wearing her little clothes and she lying. You understand what I'm saying to you? A week straight not being able to see, blind. Her 6-year-old daughter having to walk her around the house, but today she sees fine. Today she sees with no issues. She lying. She ain't worshiping for real. She just playing. She cute. She want to be seen. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when it is that you have been through hell and high water and everything that has come against you tried to take you out times three, you got a shout in your spirit, baby, that when you get to hear about the goodness of the Lord, you cannot stand still. And it don't make no never mind who's sitting next to you and what nobody think about it, because you don't know the hell that somebody had to go. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. And Satan says, without you knowing their story, Satan says, she just thinks she cute. She lying. Can't nobody be that happy in God. No, baby, you not that happy in God. God ain't doing all that for her. No. God's doing that for you because you don't deserve to be here, but because he loves you. If you understood that you don't need to wake up to a phone call with some good news, the reality is just because you woke up. Oh, God. Listen. The other thing that can happen, watch this, is that there's some people, that same people group, see the hypocrisy in you. They see no change in you, and they get the idea that God has no standard. And so they walk into this with no thought process to change. Just go to church, talk about God is good, and Facebook post, I'm blessed. The Lord gave me this vision. I want to show you this real quick. Hold on. The Lord gave me this vision while working on this, and I want everybody to pay close attention to this. Imagine that you were looking for something precious. Okay? I want you to, whatever's precious to you, imagine that you could not find it, and it was killing you. You was looking for something precious, right? And it was critical that you find it. And at least once a week, watch this, you were in a room with it. But because you didn't know it, you was looking at the room wrong. Mimi, you got the baby. Come here, baby. Imagine we do a Unity Worship Center bolo, and we are looking for baby girl. And it is, you know the type of world we live in, so it's critical. It's critical that we find her. Make this your child. And once a week, Mimi, you're in the room with her. Come here, Mary. Come here, get the baby. Whew, watch this. Once a week, you're in the room with her, but you can't find her. You're empty. You're broken. And you're lost. Because you are looking for that thing that is so precious and dire to you. Come over this way. Come over this way and look for the baby, Mimi. Come on. And no matter, because how you've been trained to look for the baby, you see the praise team, you see the preacher, but you see not what it is that your heart is yearning for. I believe that every Sunday, all over the world, God is heartbroken because he watches those that he loved walk in the room and still not find him. Walk in the room and leave with their testimony about the preacher. Leave with the testimony about how pretty the church is. Leave with the testimony about the praise team, but still deep on the inside, yearning, a void, a loss, a can't make sense of it, I can't seem to get it together. But I'm in the room. I can sense it. Ooh, I can sense it. Oh, God, it's so close. I'm in the room. And it seems like I come close to it every week, and I leave the same way, broken and without what is precious. Until we begin to seek God for real. And when we begin to seek God for real, God will lead you. He will lead you to him. Well, in my scenario, she was supposed to give the baby back. Is it possible that you've been coming to church looking at the room wrong? And because you see the room wrong, you're missing. You're missing what you came for. And because you're missing what you came for, no matter how good it should be. Oh, God. Hey, hey. Woo. No matter how good it's supposed to be,
there's this emptiness. There's this anger due to my fear of, is this how I'm always going to be? Is this how it's always going to play out? I'm better than what I'm showing myself to be. You ever wake up and realize that you're better than how you're operating? You ever wake up one day and realize how blessed you are, and it actually bring tears to your eyes because you know that despite how blessed you are, you ain't been blessing it back right. You understand what I'm saying to you? Are you new? I didn't ask you if you come to church. I see you every Sunday. I'm asking, are you new? I'm not even asking you if you love God. You hear me? I'm not even asking you if you love God. I'm asking you, are you new? In my closing today, all through the four Gospels, let's just say all four of them, not just the synoptic, but all four, you see every time that someone had an experience with Jesus, I want you to catch this. Refocus. Every time that someone had an experience with Jesus, the one trait that all of them shared, didn't even know each other, they shared one thing: change. The sick became healed. The blind were able to see. The deaf could hear. And the dead was raised. They were new. And you want to know if you've had an experience with Jesus? Baby, that's easy. Has anything in your life shifted? We have kids and we say stuff like, I got a baby now. That ain't going to be what changed you. As much as you love that baby ain't going to be what changed you. I got grandkids. And oh my God, they're so amazing. They're so adorable. But they ain't what changed me. I got an awesome wife. I got an awesome wife. But she ain't what changed me. You understand what I'm saying to you? The change that you need to be everything that God has called you to be. I don't know who you are. Watch this. God says, I have everything that you have ever desired. And every blessing that you think you've missed, I've got it in a corner with your name on it. All I needed you to do is to gravitate to me so that I can give it to you. But watch this. When you get what I got for you, you're going to have to go by my rules. Because if you bring along who you want to bring along for what I got for you, they're going to mess up everything that I got for you like they messed up everything that you had before. Got to be new. Ain't got to be perfect. Got to be new. Ain't got to speak in tongues. Got to be new. Ain't got to hold a position. You just got to be new. And you only become new. You hear me up there? You only become new through relationship with Him. That's how you become new. Through relationship with Him. Oh God, can I have this altar call? Is that all right? Can I have this altar call? If there's anybody in the building today, watch this. And you want to be new. You want to be new. You want to be new. You don't want to be the same old fake. You don't want to be the same old hypocrite. You don't want to keep on saying the same stuff, knowing you lying, knowing you're going to be a hot mess in 25 minutes after you leave church. You want to be new. You want to be new. You want to be new. I want to invite you to come on down. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for your newness. Watch this, and I want you to understand something. We have such an awesome God that He don't expect you to change years overnight, but He expects you to make a start. He expects you to put one foot in front of the other, morally, physically, day by day, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, foot after new. No. See. Why do you keep walking into what you know hurts you? Don't you walk back into what you know gonna hurt you again. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I feel this whole row up there. Yeah, yeah. Everything up there dying to be new. But I don't want to fail God. You can't fail God. You can't fail God, King. You can't fail God. No, you. Yeah, you can't fail God. Yeah. Yeah. If anybody in the building says, I want to be new. Might not speak in tongues, but I want to be new. Might not be able to quote the Bible back and forth, but I want to be new. I want to get closer to him. I want to get to know him. I want to know who he is. I want to know that he really loves me. I want to take advantage of the blessings that he's got for me. I want to come out of what it is that I'm in. I want to come out of this trap. I want to come out of this hell. I want to come out of this brokenness. I want to come out of this depression. I want to come out of these suicidal thoughts. I want to come out of this madness. We offer you the invitation to come on down. Do you know that you can walk away from it all right now? Just like that. Just like that. Don't you worry about who's watching you. Watch this. Don't you worry about who's going to be watching you after you leave here. You ain't getting new for them. You getting new for you. You getting new for you. Don't you let nobody stop you. Don't you let Satan talking to some of y'all right now. Ain't no use in you going down there. You got a blunt at the crib. You done had that beer on ice all day. You can't wait till you get a shawty at the crib. She done told you can come through. Your boyfriend who ain't your husband who live with you, he's waiting at the house for you. Ain't no use in you going down there. The devil is a lie. I dare you say, I got some things in my life right now. And it's gonna take some time. I'm gonna have to do some things. But I'm getting ready to right every wrong in my life. And it might take me a little while. But I'm gonna right every wrong in my life. Every foul thing that has been keeping me captive and keeping me broken and keeping me in depression and I don't even like being around people no more because I just feel like everybody can see what it is that I'm going through. Is there anybody that knows what I'm talking about today? I'm so broken. I just feel like I wear my brokenness like clothing. God says, all this can change right now. Hey, all this can change right now. And so the first thing God says for you is to forgive yourself. I don't know how I let this go on for so long. I don't know how I walked in this pain for so long. I don't know why I went through all the things I went through. God says, first of all, I need you to forgive you. I need you to forgive you. Hey, I don't know. He says, I forgive you, so I need you to forgive you. Hey. Yeah, now, I want you to understand something. It's going to come for you. It's going to come after you. It's going to run you down. It's going to seem like it just got crazier since you left here. But all that is an indication that you made the right move today. Today, you standing here says, I am fighting back. I am no longer a victim. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm not just going to stay broken. I'm not going to stay depressed. I'm not going to stay the victim. It's over today. So don't let when hell hits your life, don't let that throw you off. Don't let that punk you out. Don't let that run you off. Double down in it.